What is your name?
Vernon C. Howell.
And where do you live?
I live in Ashland, Kansas.
Okay. And what's your occupation?
I am basically a retired farmer, rancher, geologist.
Okay. And how old are you?
I am 90 and a half years old.
Okay. So when did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire, which we'll just call the fire that happened on March 6th?
Sometime in the afternoon of the 6th, I can't tell you the time that I first heard of it.
Did somebody tell you, or did you?
That part I can't remember. I don't even know when it started. It could be that I was at the senior center and got word from it.
So did you come to town that day and work at the senior center and have lunch?
Yes, yes.
And then you returned home?
Yes, ma'am.
Yep. So what was your immediate reaction to the fire close to your house?
The fire close to my house is panic. It came from the north after the wind changed, and I had been up around Mount Jesus watching both fires. When I first went up to Mount Jesus, the fire northwest was just one plume, and I watched it grow to several miles going northeast, and I could tell it was started around the State Lake, and then turned out it was northwest of the State Lake, and then then I quit worrying about it because it looked like it was going to Kingsdown or somewhere, and so I came back down closer to my house watching for the fire coming from Beaver towards Ashland. Of course, the smoke was pretty bad, and you could not see any fire, just smoke, and it was real smoky anyway. And then the wind changed, and then this big, awful glob of black smoke came, and I was about a mile from home, and I hurried home, and I left my car running, and I ran in the house, and I got my checkbook, was laying on the kitchen table, and grabbed a coat and started out, and I remembered there was some money in the bedroom. I ran in there and got it, and I was going to the car. I found out I could still run, and I glanced over my left shoulder, and I could see flames behind me. And so I hopped in my car, and we were a quarter mile from the county road, and I turned east and looked back. The flames were right at the house at that time. And I headed towards K-34 and had, from Frank York's just right east of me, I had wheat all the way to protect me from then on.
Yes.
But as I was going, there was a big ember came clear over me and started a fire in the road ahead of me. I mean, in the ditch in the road. But
so how fast was the wind blowing?
Real is all I could tell you, but I believe when they said 60 miles an hour, I believe that. But it came so fast that, it was really dark to see. It's kind of hard to see the road. The smoke was so bad.
So when you got to 34, did you turn north or south?
No, I went south to the Sitka Corner, and
okay,
people were gathering there, and then we kind of decided where to go, and the fire was getting close to there on the east side of the road, and I decided to go to Buffalo, and I went to Buffalo, and it was probably 20 minutes there till I could fill up with gas, and they evacuated Buffalo, and they said, go to Alva, and
okay,
I went over to as far as the Coldwater Road, went up to Coldwater, and
then where did you stay in Coldwater?
I met Jane in Coldwater, and we ended up eventually going and getting motel rooms in Greensburg.
It's,
and stayed there all night.
So when did you return to Ashland?
Okay, it was around a little afternoon the next day.
Did you have any trouble, like, getting food, or did you run into other people and find out something about what was going on? Or?
Well, at Coldwater, because there were a lot of Ashland people at Coldwater, and we kept hearing stories about whose house burned or who didn't, and I thought ours probably did. And going to, on the way to Greensburg, I told Jane, if it burns, I hope it burns the whole darn thing. And it did.
It did. So when you came back on Tuesday about noon, did you go by your house?
No, we went to, we left, we were over there in two vehicles.
Uh-huh.
Jane had already gone before I did to Coldwater when they first evacuated Ashland. And so we left my vehicle and at the school at Coldwater. And we had to come by and pick it up. We stopped by at the dollar store and bought some. We actually ate breakfast in the motel.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to worry about that.
Uh-huh.
And we stopped at the dollar store and picked up some clothes, like shorts and T-shirts and some socks, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And luckily I did need them.
Yeah, because you just left with a coat and your billfold, right? Money.
Yep.
Didn't have time to get anything else.
Nope. Yep. If I had, I wouldn't have made it.
So then when you returned to town, where did you go? Did you go to Jane's?
Yeah, we were in two vehicles then, and we went to Jane's, and then what we did, we went to Jane's and got our camera. And then came back out, and that's when I took these pictures.
Took these?
Yeah. So it was sometime in the early afternoon.
So did you lose any other buildings besides your house?
I lost a chicken house and a little shed that was right near the house.
So how'd you feel when you saw the house wasn't there?
I think I was relieved in one way that I had gotten out, and I was glad to see that it burned it all up, and we didn't have to go through and try to salvage anything because there was nothing worth salvaging.
Everything's gone.
Everything's gone. Yeah. Anything with any wood on it burned.
Uh-huh.
And it burned. Oh, we had an old well house that Andy had built a real nice shingle roof on. Of course, it burned it off. And
yeah.
It burned the lid of where our water well was. We had a wooden lid on it, and it burned it. And then, like, burned the power pole down, so there wasn't any electricity there. It got everything right around the house.
So then this was like where this flame is on this one picture. You said it was propane. Mm-hmm. So it just basically burned out the rest of the propane that was mm-hmm. in the tank.
Yes.
Yep. So did that take a while, or do you know?
We don't know. It was burning when we left, and the next when it came back the next day, it was gone.
So did you lose any vehicles or tractors? Or
I lost a Ford tractor, a real nice riding mower. I had an old trailer house. It was about one of those 50-foot things that I used as a shop.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a lot of tools and a lot of different things in there. And it burned it up, but we salvaged some of the tools out of it. Next, adjacent to it was a carport, one of these metal carports mm-hmm. and half of it folded over, and under it was my riding lawnmower, and it devoured it, and a Ford tractor was near there, and it got it. I had a stock trailer that it looked like it made it, but I opened the door, and the floor was burned out of it, but the tires were still up. Mm-hmm. And Mike Harden had a swather there, and it burned under, but he couldn't find anything damaged. Actually, later on, when he went to move it, there was some damage to his tires, but they were still up.
What about your pickup?
My pickup was sitting. It survived. It was sitting in some tracks that were worn down, and there wasn't any grass right there, and it burned up within 6 inches of it. And it started right off. Thank goodness. There was something plastic in the seat that melted it, and I don't know what it was, but so it was pretty warm inside.
Yep. So all the glass and everything, the windshields and everything were just fine?
Fine, yeah.
Not a problem? So you don't have a house, so where did you go to live?
Well, I was fortunate enough to be able to stay in my brother Don's house. He had died 2.5 years ago, and his wife had dementia problems, so she went to live with her son down in Mesa, Arizona. Their daughter lived in Georgia, so they suggested I live there, and which I still am there.
Uh-huh.
And so I was very fortunate. It's all totally furnished, so worked out pretty good for me.
Yep. So what are some of the things that you lost in the fire that you really miss?
You know, there's so many things. Initially, what I thought of was like pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Then I lost all my records. And I was waiting for one set of stuff to come from some investments. So I had all my tax stuff ready to go into the Larry Conrady, the accountant. And that arrived a week after the fire.
Ah.
It didn't get burned, thankfully.
Yeah.
But it burned all of my other records, and we had trouble getting 1099s and things like that, that had to contact people to get that. But I can think of tons of things. You know, I had quite a rock collection,
mm-hmm.
and it was... Of course, that's all gone, and there's a lot of things. We had a lot of artwork that, oil paintings and watercolors that were original that burned up. One of the fortunate things is daughter Gail came and spent several days digging around, and we had a half basement in the house. And the part where our bedroom was and where the jewelry was not over the half basement. So we knew right where that was, and she dug around there and found her mother's wedding ring.
Oh, wow.
A reconstructed wedding ring.
Mm-hmm.
One of her grandmother's diamond rings and one of her great-grandmother's gold ring.
Oh, wow. That's pretty impressive. So you talked about your kids. How did you tell them? I mean, were you in contact with them during the fire or after the fire? Did you call them and say, I'm fine, I'm out?
We were on the way to Garden City. Jane and I were the night of the fire. And Gail called me on, we had a phone in my cell phone. And she called it. and I had it on me, and she had heard over, what is that thing you hear about, a red stuff people look at every day.
Oh, like Facebook?
Facebook. She saw on Facebook they'd had a fire.
Ah.
And so she called me to find out about it, and so I was able to tell her that we were safe, but our house probably burned.
Yeah.
And then she informed everybody else.
And when did she come? Did she come Tuesday or Wednesday?
She didn't come until over a month later. But she informed everybody, and she'd got pictures that she'd seen on Facebook and that kind of stuff, and sent the boys and about all the rest of our relatives that she could think of.
So have you ever been involved in a wildfire before? Or?
Well, nothing like, of course, nobody had like a fire like that, but no.
Have you ever fought wildfire before? Or?
Yes, I have helped.
This is kind of an extraordinary type one, but what kind had you done in the past?
Oh, I just helped when there was, you know, go along after, make sure fires were out, that we carrying a wet gunny sack.
Have any fires come close to your house before?
6 years earlier, we had one that was within a quarter of a mile. It was a lightning fire up in Miller's pasture that was northeast of my house, and they had a northeast wind, and it came and ended up burning 6,000 acres. It had three runners that went out, and so it burned in three different tracks all the way to the lake road north of Ashland. And I lost, didn't lose any cattle, but I lost a lot of fence and grass in that fire.
So did you lose a lot of cattle and fence and grass this time?
No. I do not have any cattle. I take in cattle.
Right.
And it wasn't time to cattle to get here.
Uh-huh.
And my horse and dog had both died a couple of years before. So all I had to look out was me.
It's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
So did you lose lots of fencing?
Yeah, we sure did. The most of it up there was 3 miles between me and Miller Ranch, and it still isn't fixed yet. We're waiting for people to work there.
So you have some pasture land elsewhere in the county that burnt?
Yes, down in my home place south of Ashland. I lost about 1,100 acres of grass.
Is it coming back?
Yes, it is. We had fortunately have rain right after the fire, and it didn't. It's come back pretty good. Of course, dried up again now.
So, what's your most vivid memory of the fire? What's the thing that you just can't forget?
There's two things was when I was watching the fire coming from Beaver, and I was south of the compressor station, and this massive black smoke came from the north fire when the wind changed and that front moved in, and it came in so fast, it was just, you know, 60 mile an hour wind, it was totally unexpected, because I was watching southwest and not north, and it hit, and that, and probably when I turned onto the county road a quarter mile from the house and looked and saw where the flames were right at the house.
Yeah.
Probably.
So black smoke at your house then too, or mostly?
You know, I can't even remember that.
Yeah.
I absolutely can't remember. I remember driving towards K-34 on the county road, and it was kind of tough to see. And
it's like driving in fog?
Kind of, yeah. Very similar, yeah. Sure was.
Yeah.
And
so you said you met up with some people at the Sitka Junction. Who was there? Do you remember?
Well, Mary Cornball was the first one, and she parked right beside me, and she had one of her little grandkids, and she thought their house got burned. Turns out it didn't, and she was kind of waiting to hear from Mark, and several people drove up that I didn't know, didn't pay attention to who were, but John Humphreys called, and he wondered what I thought of which way we ought to go. And when we saw that the fire was getting close, coming down on the east side of K-34, we decided Buffalo was the direction to go, and we did. And I was...
Do you have any concept of what time it was?
Sometime in there, it was 5:30, is the only thing I can remember. But other than that, I can't remember. I really can't. Yeah. I remember when we left Coldwater to go to Greensburg, it was about 8:30. But it was almost, it was like night almost all the rest of the time due to the smoke.
So when you were over at Coldwater, could you see the fire or could you just see smoke?
I never saw any fire other than that right at my house. It was the only fire I saw any time.
And when you went down into Oklahoma, you didn't see any fires burning down that way?
I didn't see any. No.
Yeah, did you see
and the
smoke
was so bad you just couldn't see.
Yeah. And so what were some of the people or agencies that proved most helpful?
The my insurance company was one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Very helpful.
Didn't give you any trouble or anything?
No. Everything was a plus. What is the Ashland Foundation?
Community Foundation?
Yeah, they helped a lot.
Yeah.
An awful lot.
Yeah. Did you take meals down at the camp? Did you go to the Christian camp and eat lunch or anything?
No.
Was the community center serving lunches every day? Were you working?
Yeah, we had our regular meals. Yeah. Yeah.
So, can you perceive of anything positive that has come from this fire?
This is rather interesting, isn't it? Sometime before the fire, I was wondering what the heck it was going to do with all the stuff we had in our house. Needed to get rid of a lot of things, and that was solved.
Pretty much.
Got rid of everything.
Yes. Any other good things that came from the fire? Did you have any volunteers come out and help at your place?
We had, yes, I had the, there was a group that came from Texas,
mm-hmm.
and they came up and helped tear out some fence down the south between the Rankins and the Howell down there.
Mm-hmm.
They tore out a couple of miles of fence. And then the Mennonites tore out some fence for me up at northeast of town.
Yeah.
And they did a very good job. I was very pleased.
Did you have to have any cleanup at your house?
It has not been done yet.
So, but there's going to have to be some cleanup.
A lot.
So, what could be done? What could people do to prepare for a future fire? What sticks in your mind that maybe you should have done?
I can't think of a thing at my place because I was totally surrounded by grass.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of at the mercy of Mother Nature.
Is there anything in your house that if you'd had time to get it, you would have taken?
Actually, there were so many different things that I can think of that it would have been a terrible decision to have to make. I don't know what I would have taken. I really don't know. Everything was you know, the one thing that I wished I had have taken and I didn't, that was laying right there on a coffee table, was all my income tax stuff.
Yeah.
If I'd have taken that, that would have been better than taking that $70 I got out of the bedroom.
Yeah, life would have been a lot easier.
A lot easier, it sure would have. that's one thing. I hadn't thought about that, but if I'd have grabbed that, it would have been just as been easier than grabbing, going back in the bedroom, getting the money.
So what about the community? How could they prepare for a wildfire or any kind of a disaster? How do you think the community responded to this fire?
I think it's real well. I really do. We had, you know, the amazing how the whole country responded to this county and the surrounding counties too, that like Harper County, Oklahoma, and Comanche County. It's amazing the generosity of people. It's just totally amazing. The people from Maryland that had some trouble fires, they sent out $87,000 to us out here, and then 9 or 10 of them came out and visited us and got a tour of the country. And I heard one guy say that when he got home, he was going to hug his tree because he said, "You haven't got any trees here." it is amazing what everybody did, and the amount of everything that came in, money and hay and fencing materials, water. Mm-hmm. It really was.
Food.
And food, yeah. And
clothing.
The pair of pants I have on now is I got down at the 4-H building. Mm-hmm.
Did you find a lot of things from the donations there?
I got a few things, not a lot, but a few. There was so much stuff I didn't even know what to think about. But I got some T-shirts and mm-hmm. Some shorts, a few things. And I got a pair of shoes that didn't fit right, but work shoes.
Uh-huh.
I was glad when I finally was able to go buy something that fit.
So how long did it take before you got to go somewhere to buy some?
It wasn't very long. I think it was maybe the Wednesday after we went to Dodge and started buying a few mm-hmm. clothes and things. It's gradually got a few more.
Yep. So what do you think about town living?
Well, I'd lived in a lot of towns, so that wasn't that big of a deal. What I missed more than anything is we had, I fed quail and deer and other critters in my backyard, and I missed that. And we'd had a wildlife camera and we had found out we had a lot more critters than we knew would show up at night. And, coons and bobcats and skunks.
Yeah.
But the wildlife, the deer is just, and the quail, one time I counted 36 quail out there. It was after an ice storm, probably that January. Mm-hmm. They were all trying to get a drink, and I'd taken water out there.
Yeah.
But we've had quite a few deer come in. same deer, you know. And we got some good photos of them too.
Yep.
I missed that part. Now I've got bird feeders here in town, so I'm getting birds in the backyard now.
Yeah,
doing pretty good that way. Yep. I miss seeing. I can't, where I live, I can't see very far. I'm so used to just looking out the window at home, and I could see several miles mm-hmm. in some directions.
Yep.
I miss that part too. But I don't miss the muddy roads, if we could ever get any.
So are there some landmarks that you used to know very well that aren't there anymore? Things that you used to drive by or...
There's things that are so noticeable is all the cedar trees got burned. And I had quite a few cedar trees real close to the house in, I think, three rows of them that were about around 100 yards long and three rows wide. And then I had southeast the house is about probably 200 yards of six rows of cedar trees, and all the cedar trees got burned. And that takes away from the looks of it out there. The one thing that I had four pecan trees that still have some life in them, so I was glad for that.
So are there any houses close to you that burnt?
No, the what do we call the Chadwick House over on the Moore Place did not burn. The Martin House didn't burn, and the Harold Dorsey House didn't burn, and all of them were empty. And then there's some houses that did burn that where people were at them.
It's kind of strange how that worked, too, isn't it?
Yeah. There was, and then that streak from Giles on down, and all the way to down to the old Thielen place. All the houses that burned in there, I think it was around 10, something like that.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
So, and that was all. Like, most of those houses were east of 34, except for the Giles houses.
And the Millers.
Yeah.
Over on Rodney.
That were up north.
And the house on the R.A. Dorsey place.
And the Fleetwood house, or which was Mike Seacat's house.
Yeah, that house. And then the cabin on
Filson
place. And then the house was empty up on the old Virgil Ruddy place that Giles it burned.
And then there was one on Steve Stevens, right?
That I don't know.
Yeah, there's one over at Stevens. The house that he and Margie lived in when they first came back. So, do you have any other thoughts about this experience that stand out?
Not really the amount of fencing, the miles of fencing that people had to do, and still have to do, is just unreal. And the numbers of cattle that people lost.
So you have any other thoughts that you'd like to share?
I try not to dwell on the bad things.
Yeah.
And I really do. Things happen every once in a while, and there are some humorous things that happen. I remember when we first were looking around Don's and saw that he had this 8-track tape player. And I told Jane, I said, my gosh, I can play my tapes. And she said, Vernon, you don't have any tapes. And it's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So, when you first figured out that you could use Don's house, was that your first thought? I can go to town and move, or did you have to stop and think about having a place
to
go?
No, I didn't. That was a total relief because I hadn't thought about it.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering about buying a trailer house and living out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I really hadn't thought about that. And then they called and said it was kind of like a miracle. But really.
Nice to have that available.
Yeah.
So did you have a lot of people come and ask what they could do for you or how they could help?
I've had a lot, a lot of people asked to help. But,
you have friends from other places that have tried to get in contact with you much?
Not much that way.
Yeah.
Every now and then I think about, like when I was with the City Surface Oil Company, I was with a uranium investigation group, and I went around and I had ore from 5 different uranium mines, some of them are pretty famous out in Utah, and I had that, and then down in we had a geologist of ours found some sand down in Padre Island, and he took it back to the lab and found out it was titanium.
Oh.
And they sent me, when I was in down in San Antonio, to try to find the source of it. And so I started down at basically the mouth of the Rio Grande River and followed it upstream almost to El Paso, at every stream that came into the Rio Grande. And I did find the source of it.
Did you?
Yeah, and I had some on my kitchen table that I didn't have any more.
Yeah.
But stuff like that.
Did you have any service medals that you won from?
I sure did.
Yeah.
From World War II. Yeah.
So you going to try and have them replaced, or?
No, I don't think so. There was 3 of them that I can think of, and one of them was being in the Asiatic Pacific. And I can think of one of them. That was what I really remember. And those are gone.
Did you get any Purple Hearts?
Or nope, I didn't get hurt.
Didn't get hurt? That's a good thing. Yep. And were you on a ship?
No, I was only a passenger on a ship. I was fortunate that I was the last draft age of World War II. And it went in February of 45 when I was in high school and joined the Navy. And the war was over in August. Went in February in 45, and the war was over in August of 45. And then's when I went over. And I spent some time in the Marshall Islands and then on Wake Island.
So how long were you in the service?
I was only in 18 months. They didn't know what to do with us. They discharged us.
So then did you come back and finish school?
I went to college
for
a couple of years at K-State in the fall of 46 through the spring of 48. Laid out 5 years, got married, went back, got a degree in geology, and then worked for an oil company for a number of years.
Yeah, so then when did you return to Ashland?
In 1964.
And did you build that house?
No. The house was built the year I was born, in 1927.
And who owned it?
Clarence Aldridge had it built. And we ended up buying the place from the Aldridges later.
Uh-huh.
So,
do you know how old it was at the time you bought it? The house.
It's the same age as me. 1927.
Seven?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, we were the same age.
Yeah.
I lived longer than it did.
Yeah, you did, which is a good thing. So, okay, got anything else you'd like to add or anything we haven't covered that you think should be part of this?
Right offhand, I can't think of anything. it's purely humiliating to lose everything you have, virtually, all your records and the pictures. And I was fortunate enough, and the pictures, my sister down in Amarillo, had a lot of duplicates, and I got a lot of those. And then her daughter came up and had pictures that if I wanted any, she'd have them copied, and she did that, so I got a lot of pictures that way.
Oh, good.
And yep. And Gail, my daughter, was here a year ago and copied a lot of pictures, and then she had copies, getting made copies of those to me, so I end up with quite a few pictures.
Good, but you don't have your 8-track tapes.
I sure don't. I had a lot of scuba diving tapes that would have loved to have had.
No more.
Yeah.
So, okay, anything else?
I can't think of anything.
Okay, thank you so much for coming and sharing your experiences. I know it's kind of difficult, but we like to know what happened.
Those are... Dude, that thing ain't on, is it?